First Baptist Church of Redmond, March 7th, 2021. Mark chapter 15. The battle is won.
Please rise. Join me in reading Mark 15:46. Joseph bought a linen cloth, took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb, which had been cut out in the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. You may be seated.
The sermon title is obvious. The battle is won. That's the point. Jesus satisfied infinitely the Father's plan, the Father's goal of securing our salvation by faith. But we're focusing on a different group. There was a reference to the men who were following, but special attention is paid by Mark to the input, the testimony of women. It is finished. The struggle is over. The battle is won. The work the Father gave the Son to do is finished. The body of Jesus suffers no more pain. He has entered into paradise. You promised the thief, today you will be with me in paradise, with me. Most of the people by this time had left. I'm paying attention to the phrases about women. Now there also there were also some women watching from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph, and Salome. Women watching from a distance refers to a group separate from the men. The men tended to congregate together, and the women were dedicated, were followers, were supporters. I'll get to that. But separated themselves. It was cultural. Women were separated from men in their worship and their attention they paid to Jesus. They were witnesses too. They were by the cross. Watching carries the picture of a spectator, attentively removed from the mocking, viewing all that had happened. Realize that most people criticized and made fun of Jesus on the cross. The two groups, the dedicated men and the dedicated women, were separated from the group. It is very well possible that the two lists indicate the same three persons. Matthew 27 and Mark 15 have at least three people they're talking about. If that be true, the three would be A, Mary Magdalene, so named in both lists. Mary, the mother of James the Less and Joseph, and Salome, the mother of the sons of Zebedee, not named in any other place but Mark's gospel. I think there was a fourth woman who is emphasized. There were probably more than four, but Mark makes a point of emphasizing honoring this four. The mother of Jesus, of course. Her sister, who according to Mark was Salome, the mother of James and the author of the fourth gospel. Jesus was cousins to some, and only Mark names Salome. Mary, the wife of Cleopas. She, if this harmony is correct, I think it is the mother of James the Less and Joseph. Mary Magdalene. So, four were particularly honored. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and serve him. And there were many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. There were probably other women in the group, but he names four. Notable women were these, and at least three reasons why they were named. With the exception of John, none of the other gospels, none of your disciples who belong to the group of 12 is reported to be present at Calvary. John only. But these women were present. They displayed rare courage and were subject to mocking. We are distinctively told that there were women who had followed Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem and had been in the habit of ministering to his needs. They had given evidence of heart filled with love, sympathy, compassion, and support. It's obvious that women are important. Women's ministry is important. 60% of church attendance in the United States is women. Being witnesses of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection appearances, they were qualified witnesses of facts of redemption on which, under God, the church depends on faith. When the evening had already come, since it was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Preparation day. Technically, that was the name of Friday. Friday. The day of preparation for the Sabbath. Mark explains it from his non-Jewish readers. No work could be done even for Jesus. It was important that they take him down from the cross, or he would be dishonored. And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, the cross, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury them the same day. Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God, and he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, the one of Arimathea, distinguishing him from all other Josephs. Jesus' father was named Joseph, earthly father, and so I think that there's a reason for the distinguishing. Of Arimathea indicates that he was from there, but moved and lives in Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, he's provided a place for burial for himself. The name of Arimathea, from which he came, probably was the ancient Ramathim Zophim, situated a little way over 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem. God raised him up to help. The source of help was unexpected. No one knew at the death of Christ where he would be buried. They hadn't planned for it. Their hearts were so heavy that he must be buried the same day. We've looked at that passage, but they hadn't planned for it. Prominent member of the council. He was presentable. It means he was of good position and was wealthy. Council. He was a member of the Sanhedrin who just convicted Jesus. Waiting for the kingdom marks him as waiting for the fulfillment of the Messiah's coming. He was looking for the Messiah, and he had found him in Jesus. Gathered up courage. It took courage to face Pilate. He would be in a bad mood because, remember, he didn't want to crucify Jesus. He did nothing to deserve death. But the Sanhedrin fomented the crowd, caused the crowd to holler for Barabbas to be spared, a thief, instead of Jesus. He took courage to identify with Jesus. He became an open disciple. For arguing for the burial of Jesus in his own tomb, treated as a special case, he became openly a follower of Jesus. Now Pilate wondered if he was dead by this time, and suddenly the centurion, he questioned him as to whether he was already dead. The stories of the gospel, of the crucifixion, tend to not mention this. Pilate wondered, marveled, not as Joseph's request, but whether Jesus was already dead. It was uncommon for people to die of crucifixion in 6 hours. He died in 6 hours. Often death occurred as long as 3 days after crucifixion. It was a long process. Basically, the crucifixion didn't kill you. The lack of air killed you. If you are crucified, you had to pull up for every breath of air. And he generally would have suffocated after multiple days. It was torture. It was reserved for non-Roman citizens. Summoning the centurion, he came to believe that Jesus' death had occurred in the past. Truly, this was the Son of God. That was the centurion. Joseph bought a linen cloth and took him down, wrapped him in the linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb which had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. We know its location. In the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. Since we do not know where Calvary was, we do not know where either the tomb was, but I believe that was a secluded spot beneath a hill. It's said to be a place of the skull. That's what Calvary means, the place of the skull. And there's only one naturally occurring mark that is appropriate. You see the picture. It's newness. The tomb was new. Traditionally, tombs were used again and again and again. The process was somebody would die. They would care for them, wrap them, and bury them. And it's common to roll a stone over the mouth of the tomb. They'd come back in a year because the bones would have deteriorated, the flesh was missing, and don't think casket. Think of about 24-inch, slightly more than a cubit, a 24-inch rectangular box. They would collect the bones and put them in the box for storage. They would store the box in a recessed location that would have been carved. And so you can know the family members who have gone ahead of time because count the boxes. It was new in the sense that it had never been used. So Jesus' tomb was not used before. It was new. Joseph of Arimathea commissioned it as the start of his family. Decay and decomposition had never entered it. Its owner, according to Matthew 27:60, it was Joseph's own tomb. Joseph was a rich man. Hence, prophecy was fulfilled. Isaiah 53:9 occurs to the mind, and he was with a rich man in his death. So Joseph's appeal fulfilled scripture. Its general appearance. You can see the hill, and there's some memorials on the top for people who believe, as I do, that it was the place of a skull, the crucifixion place of Jesus. It had been hewn out of the solid cliff after depositing the body of Jesus. I don't want to be unclear. The tomb was not associated with the place of the skull. It was a distance away. After depositing the body of Jesus, they rolled a great stone in from in front of the entrance. Pardon me. The particular stone they used was very heavy. The entrance to the tomb. The chamber was low. The opening was low. Mary had to stoop to look into the tomb. Peter and John had to kneel to enter. At the foot end and at the head end of the place where the body was laid, the rock was left thick enough to form a kind of seat. That's where they would have sat to prepare the body. That was the function. It was a long process to prepare a tomb, the body, and they took a long time. And so, as a matter of fact, they came on Sunday morning to finish. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, were watching to see where he was laid. The Father in heaven took care that had every step, there were faithful witnesses who could give testimony. In the present case, to say that the two women saw where Jesus laid, they were watching, were observing carefully, intently, devoutly. After all, it was the Lord's body who saved them. For us, Joseph of Arimathea realized that, the words of Esther are come to mind, he had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. By God's grace, he saw his opportunity and made the most of it by giving a gift. Prophecy was again being beautifully fulfilled, Isaiah 53:9. So intensely does the Father love his Son that as quickly as ever possible, he changes Jesus' state of humiliation to that of exaltation. Again, Jesus only suffered for 6 hours. That's a long time. But days were not appointed for the suffering. Jesus suffered quickly, and the Father took him when he said, "It is finished," took him to paradise to be with him. A Franciscan university in Ohio, you can see Twitter and highlights, Twitter. A Franciscan University of Ohio recently posted a series of ads on Facebook to promote some of its online theology programs. But Facebook rejected one of them because it included a representation of the crucifixion. The monitors at Facebook said the reason for their rejection was they found the depiction of the cross, quote, "shocking, sensational, and excessively violent." The Franciscan University of Steubenville responded with a blog post that no doubt surprised Facebook. They agreed with Facebook's assessment. The Franciscan University quoted, quote, "Indeed, the crucifixion of Christ was all of those things. It was the most sensational action in history. Man executed his God. It was shocking. Yes, God deigned to take on flesh and was obedient unto death, even the death of a cross." Philippians 2:8. "It was certainly excessively violent. A man scourged to within an inch of his life, nailed naked to a cross and left to die, and all the hate of all the sin in the world poured out its wrath upon humanity." They went on to continue. "He was God. He could have descended from the cross at any moment. No, it was love that kept him there. Love for you and me, that we might not be eternally condemned for our sins, but may have life eternal with him in his Father in heaven."